Jim and John?
Yes, Mr. President.
How are you?
We're fine. Very happy out here.
I should think you should be, and let me congratulate you and the NASA Viking team of universities and industry and the NASA organization for a first-class job.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are about 10,000 people that are very grateful for those words and very grateful for the support of the American people that made this mission possible.
Could you tell me a little bit about it? I know you had some radio communications trouble at the outset, but I understand that that has been remedied and you do have two pretty good pictures.
Yes, Mr. President. We had some initial difficulties yesterday afternoon after separation of the lander from the orbiter. We lost communications between the orbiter and Earth for a while. When we were able to, about an hour later, we were able to reestablish those communications, but we were in a low-gain antenna mode at a lower signal strength, and as a result, we were unable to monitor the progress of the lander as it descended to the Martian surface. The lander, which is a very superb automated machine, landed and did everything on its own and landed right on schedule, but we were sitting somewhat on needles and pins because of the fact that we had no information here on the ground.
Well, I think that was a tremendous feat that something that far away would do the job all by itself without human hands, at least at the present time, having anything to do with it.
As Dr. Noggle said, sir, I believe the 10,000 human hands that have worked for 7 years are what made it all possible.
Well, I think this is a superlative demonstration of American skill and teamwork, I think the world will recognize it, and I certainly want to congratulate all of the team for a great, great job. Can you give me a little information about this landing site vis-a-vis the one where the first landed?
Yes, sir. We are sitting on a plane that is called Utopia. let me say that I had been promised when I selected this landing site that we would see a lot of sand dunes, and perhaps we're seeing a lot of sand dunes, but they are now covered with rocks.
I see.
We have very superb pictures, beautiful pictures, very sharp, very clear, but there are an awful lot of rocks. We're about 4,000 miles from the landing one site. We're at 48 degrees north latitude, whereas the earlier site is closer to the equator.
I see.
We are hopeful that this site is in an area where we have measured more water in the atmosphere, and therefore we are hopeful that we'll find perhaps more water in or near the surface, and this might be more conducive to life.
I saw on the 11 o'clock news in Washington last night all of you congratulating each other, and I was there in spirit, if not in person.
Well, thank you, sir. We really had a tremendous team, and not only the Americans, but I'd like to recognize the fact that we have colleagues in Australia and in Spain that operate the tracking stations of the Deep Space Network that are a vital part of this operation.
We'll give them my very best as well. I know you're in communication with them. Let me ask a question for the future. What other planetary exploration do you have in mind?
Mr. President, we have a mission scheduled for to go to explore Saturn starting next spring, and then later in 1978, a mission to Venus to make a more detailed exploration of the atmosphere of Venus. We do not have anything in the pipeline beyond those two, and we are in the process, as I'm sure you're aware, of defining what the future United States planetary exploration program should be.
Right.
In the case of Mars follow-on, we had waited on that until we discussion out here about what kind of a Mars follow-on program we should be. There are people who are saying that we ought to take this magnificent Viking machine and put it on some kind of rollers and move it so we can move up on the hill and get a better view of Mars.
I see.
Explore some of the great canyons that we see there. There are other people who say that the surface chemistry, as I'm sure you have seen in the papers, we're very puzzled by the measurements that the biology experiments and the other experiments are making of the nature of the surface of Mars. And there are people who say that we should come up with new, better, more sensitive experiments to study that. And there are other people who say we should bring a sample of Mars back to laboratories here on Earth so that we can make a more detailed, thorough analysis. There's quite a sense of excitement out here. To me, it's comparable to that back in the Sputnik era.
Right.
Except that I think there's more solid intellectual curiosity on the part of the public, more of a feeling of really wanting to understand what the nature of this planet Mars is, more so of that than a worry about our competitive position with respect to the USSR.
Well, it is very, very exciting, and it brings back memories when I was on an aircraft carrier in World War II, and I was the assistant navigator, and we used to take our readings at sunrise and sunset, and they always said Mars was totally unreliable. Isn't that true in navigation?
No, sir. We found it exactly that it would be. You know, these two spacecraft traveled about 440 million miles.
Right.
Between Earth and Mars, and they arrived right on time and right where we expected. We have a superb navigation team, and I think that's one thing we can do pretty well is get to the planet. I must admit, we are all somewhat amazed every time we see a new picture because we don't quite understand what's going on here on the surface.
Well, it's a great accomplishment, and again, congratulations, and I'll be hearing from Jim Fletcher, I'm sure, and we look forward to working with you, and you've all done a great job, and all of us are very proud of you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Have a good weekend.
We will.
Bye.